Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, broadcasting live from Dubuque, Iowa, from the Mississippi Mug, and also below the Bluff Juice Bar here in Dubuque, and we're just having a wonderful time. Some of you just tune in, I assume that you're with us every day, every minute, but several weeks ago, Mary called, and Mary's been terrific, a wonderful host to us, an open line, it's funny how things happen, and said, you know, you should come to Dubuque and go to the caucus with me. And I thought, of course I should. What better thing could I possibly do than to go to Dubuque and go to the caucus with Mary? And I said, yeah. And then the station agreed. And as a result, we've been doing live broadcasts from Dubuque. And I hope we're giving you the sense of all that's happening here. We've had just a really meaningful time in terms of having our hope restored, I think, in the whole political process, meeting with you. And you've been so serious about all of the issues and studying the issues and going to these caucuses. And this is heaven for me to walk down the streets and walk into shops and talk politics with everybody. It's something. So we're going to bring this spirit back to Wisconsin, and may this spirit exist all over the country as we go through this very important election process. It started here, and you've lived up to your reputation as being a serious-minded, good people. And I'm happy that we started in Iowa. And I had different thoughts about that until I came here, and now I see who you are and how seriously you take this process. And you deserve it. Maybe we all deserve to have caucuses, you know? We should do those as well.
Careful there. We go first.
I know. Oh, wait a second. we've never had a chance to go first. We have a live audience here. We have people calling in. We have guests in our studio. Professor David Carroll Cochran, Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College. He went to the Democratic caucus last night and was with the winner, Senator Barack Obama. Also joining us is Professor Christopher Budzis. He brought a group of students to both the Democratic and Republican caucuses here in Dubuque because he's doing a class on the whole political process. He's an associate professor of politics at Loras College and participated, caucused for John McCain last night. And we have people in the audience who caucused for Huckabee and for Barack Obama and for Joe Biden and for Dennis Kucinich and just a number of people. So, and Edwards, John Edwards, we're getting to you in a moment. And I saw him this morning. We were talking about this before. These people were all in New Hampshire, having arrived at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, including John Edwards, and there was Elizabeth as well, and they were bright and chipper. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how do you do this? How do you do this? Is it caffeine?
Well,
they don't
for most
sleep.
Of the candidates.
Oh, man. What is it for the other candidates?
Oh, no, it was just a...
Oh. I think we all need some of it. Let's go to a phone call. I've kept these people on the line here for hours, so we need to talk to somebody, and then we'll get to more of the caucus goers. Let's go to Gregory from Gutenberg, Iowa, who did caucus last night. Gregory, hello.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Gregory?
I'm doing just fine. My observation was I went to the Democratic caucus in our town of Gutenberg there, and we had 275 caucusers. The room was empty. It was standing room only. It was so crowded in the hall there. The Democratic Party combined two townships had a combined population of maybe 3,000 at the tops. So, I mean, we had a lot of people there. It was exciting.
Yeah, there were a lot of people at the place where we were last night. Who did you caucus for, Gregory?
Well, I went in as uncommitted.
Really?
The big three didn't really need me. And I'm one to, like, keep the debate lively. So my plan going in was to perhaps go with one of the non-viable candidates if they needed one or two to become viable. But that didn't work out. So I ended up in the Obama camp.
Well, that's quite a strategy, huh?
Well, I was leaning towards Obama anyway. So, I just was hoping to keep the debate as lively as possible. So, the more candidates, the better.
Yeah, good for you. I think that spirit was alive in the caucus we went to as well. That an announcement was made, because there were a lot of Obama supporters, and there were Hillary and Obama were the only two viable candidates at the beginning, as I recall. And then they made other candidates viable. So there was this spirit of, let's keep the debate going. Let's keep the candidates alive who've spent a lot of time here. And I thought that was another wonderful thing about the caucus system. All right, Gregory, thanks so much for the call.
You're very welcome.
We have another Obama supporter, and she happens to be a state representative from the Dubuque area. Pam Yoakum is joining us. And
thank you.
Yeah,
good to be here.
Thanks for being with us today. And you you caucused for a winner last night.
I did, and it feels good to win. But but the road has just begun, and I think everyone has said that. The only point I really want to make is, number one, the caucus turnout last night, we've mentioned, was doubled. I know in my own caucus, not only did it double, but again, and half the caucus were new people caucusing for the first time,
yeah.
And about a third of them were registering to vote for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
isn't that something?
To me, that is just a wonderful message that's happening, that the political parties, or at least the Democratic Party, is expanding its base and engaging people again who are hungry and thirsty for a leader who is genuine, who is humble, who is sincere, that believes in convictions, that want to govern by convictions and principle rather than slash and burn politics. And I'm hoping that day is soon to end, because it has not served our nation well in our ability to govern. And finally, it's even for me, it was more than just change from the Obama campaign and the senator. It was actually hope. Hope that inspired people that our government can really solve problems again, because it really has. And I hope Washington and state legislators from across the country heard that message, that we really want problem solved and we want to be one America again.
Yeah. All right. Well
just
spoken.
One other thing. I just wanted to mention also that between Edwards and Obama, capturing 68% of the Iowa caucus vote last night was, again, a reinforcement of that hunger and thirst for change and for a different kind of politics and a new way to govern.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. Let's talk a little bit, our political science professors, before we go back to the caucus goers, about voting in this country. This is something that we discuss all the time. It's just horrible that we have such an abysmally low voting rate in this country for such important elections. Are we seeing, first of all, your thoughts on why that is the case, why there are so many people who just sit it out? And secondly, if there could be a change in that regard this go around. Christopher?
There certainly could be. I'll take the last part of your question first. There certainly could be a change this election. In the 2004 presidential election, you also saw a serious uptick in voter turnout, partly for some of the reasons we've talked about before, that issues are important and those kind of things. One thing I would just say is there's, in political science, there's a consideration of how do you actually gauge voter turnout? And there's a difference between there's a growing difference between the voting age population in this country, so anybody 18 and above, and the voting eligible population, which will exclude certain people, including felons and other individuals. So when we talk about abysmal turnout, if you go back and run the numbers, it's not as abysmal. I don't know if that makes you happy or not. It's still bad compared to many countries, or poor compared to many countries, but the difference is not as stark as is often reported, because sometimes you'll have to note in the foot, are you talking about anybody 18 and over, or are you talking about anybody who's actually eligible under state law to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's just one caveat to the discussion of turnout from the sort of political
science literature. David, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's other forms of political participation which the United States actually does better than a lot of countries in, attending local meetings, signing petitions, contacting elected representatives like Pam and things like that. But voting specifically, one of the problems is we do make it more difficult in this country to vote than many other countries. We have registration requirements. You have to go to a particular location often, which might not be anywhere near where you work on a particular day. So we have some basic convenience and institutional barriers, which were frankly put in place in some places in order to depress turnout. But, and I think if we remove some of those, you would see turnout turnout go up somewhat. We also, ironically, we ask our citizens to vote more than any other democracy. Usually in most democracies, you go every couple of years, you do one ballot for your party, and then everything takes care of it. We go to primaries, special elections, school board elections.
Illinois elects coroner.
Right. We have coroners elected.
You know, we have a numerous, absolutely almost mind-boggling number of elections that we ask people to turn out.
I love them. The more, the better, I say. You know? Well, it's fun to vote. I love vote. I like to vote.
Yes, and I there is, intellectually out there, there is an argument to be said, though, that the fun factor is not, it's important, but right. The fun factor shouldn't be, hey, go vote, hey.
Yeah.
But that's where the information comes in and everything.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And what about, some has been said, and I was talking to everybody yesterday, everybody I ran into, I asked, are you going to caucus? And the Times did a piece earlier this week that made me aware of the number of people who are in the military who can't vote, the number of people who have nighttime jobs who couldn't caucus. Do you think allowances should be made in your system for those people? They should be allowed to caucus somehow, don't you think?
That's the one of the paradoxes of the caucuses, because what makes it so special, citizens coming together face-to-face on a particular night, it has to be cold, it has to be snowy, get that whole sense, you know, in the school gym, that does tend to make it more exclusive than people who, for whatever reason, aren't able to make it, and so you do get low turnout. And so that's one of the paradoxes, that kind of charm of the caucuses also means you have less participation. So in the New Hampshire primary, far more citizens in New Hampshire are going to participate in the primary because it's show up anytime that day, mark your ballot, go home. It's a lot more convenient. But what Iowa seems to love about its caucuses is that face-to-face really put in the time, and that's naturally going to lower the number of people who actually participate.
Right.
And one quick thing, too, on the systemic thing, the obstacles to voting, Iowa instituted, starting on the first of this year, same-day voter registration, so day of election voter registration. So, and you saw that both on the Republican side, Democratic side. You mentioned on the Democratic side. When I was at the Republican caucus last night, you saw the same thing. Large numbers of individuals who are not only registering as Republicans who might have been non-party before, but also a large number of people filling out the little voter registration cards. So registering to vote for the first time. So you see that on both. And for Iowa, the law has changed. So now there's same-day election registration.
Yeah, same as Wisconsin. We have a John Edwards caucus goer with us. Hello.
Hello, I'm Chuck Ryan from Dubuque, and I have observation and a question. Well, my observation would be about our caucus. It was kind of claustrophobic. There was 213 of us squeezed into a small grade school library, but it was more than double of our last caucus. And we wound up with giving three delegates to Edwards and three delegates to Obama and two delegates to Hillary. And the interesting thing, as Joe Biden's group was not viable, nobody from that group, to my recollection, went to Hillary. They split pretty much between Obama and Edwards. So that's my observation of the caucus. But my question is, Kathleen, you know, we had to remind you that Edwards, just a little while ago, we had to raise our hands for Edwards. There seems to be this thing that Edwards, even though he's right on all the Democratic issues, he's probably put more time and energy into this state than any other candidate. He tends to just get overlooked. It's Hillary and Obama. And now my question is, there's a CNN research poll. Of course, Edwards uses this in his literature, but I guess it's a valid poll that says he's the only Democratic candidate that can beat every Republican candidate in every state. That's what the poll showed. Now, where did that material come from? That's what I'd like the political scientists maybe to give some comment on.
And let me just ask you a couple questions, too. To tell you the truth, I thought Edwards was going to win this state. I really did. I thought he's been here a long period of time. From what I read, he had a number of the precinct captains. I knew he worked it very well. I was surprised. I was surprised that he didn't win yesterday.
Yeah.
Until just wandering around, I felt this Obama movement from the number of people who were here from all over the country. You sensed that something else was going on.
I'll gladly vote for Obama.
So I have a question for you. And I got to tell you that he has... You know, I wish his wife were able to run in some ways, too, because we've had her on several times, and she is one wonderful woman. I mean, and I told him that once he was on with us, and he said, "Well, I'm pretty wonderful too." Said, I'm sure you are, but I know her. You know, she's just like you feel like you've been in Dubuque, Iowa, having dinner with her. But you must be somewhat disappointed today because he doesn't have as much money as the other people.
It. The good guys don't come in first.
So I can't see him making a big run here.
That's it. He didn't take money, and yet apparently that didn't gather him a lot of sympathy. The fact that he's running out of money now, and he didn't take money from the big corporations, which he seems to be the one who's feisty enough to really take on, you know. And the other candidates have got their money, you know.
So that is sad,
yeah. But still, the Democratic problem this year was certainly overloaded with qualified candidates.
Yeah, but let's talk a bit about
back
it.
Back to my question.
Yes,
yes. The poll said he's the one that can beat everybody in every state.
Professor Cochran, you want to start with a response to that?
Sure. I would just say that, Edwards, I think he has the misfortune. He just had really bad luck that Obama decided to get in the race. Because otherwise he would have shaped up as the kind of Hillary or choice, but Obama came in and filled that role. And especially on the Democratic side, you often get a dynamic with an establishment candidate, a Walter Mondale type, and then an insurgent candidate, a Gary Hart, a Howard Dean, and they appeal to different sides of the Democratic Party. And that Clinton has sort of filled the role of the establishment with Obama, the insurgent, and that kind of squeezes Edwards out. He doesn't really have a niche to fill. He certainly is electable, has good electability numbers nationwide in a matchup with generic Republicans. But so does Obama, and so frankly probably does Clinton, maybe not to the same extent, that Democratic candidates face some heavy advantages going into the general election.
Yeah.
But I think he just has the bad luck of not having the money and the organization nationwide and not being able to find a niche in this sort of dynamic that shaped up Hillary versus Barack Obama.
The other thing really quickly is that these polls tend to be snapshots. So it's certainly the case that if you pit one candidate versus another, you can find, John Edwards has high electability numbers across those states, but that's not a static indicator of support. It changes once people get to know an individual more. One of the interesting things when you look at those polls is also to see how many people aren't sure of the person or haven't even heard of the person, too, across all of those states, because Iowans know these people. We've lived with them.
I know.
We love it. Voting is fun. Absolutely. You said it earlier. Caucusing is fun. Those polls are real. However, they're snapshots, and there's a hidden thing going on about it's not static. Once attack ads happen, once people get to know messages more, those things shift. So it's a snapshot that has some things going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
But it's real.
And we have spent very little time talking about Senator Clinton, and we'll do that in a moment, because I think it is remarkable she came in third here as well. So what does that mean? I ask you to think about that for a moment. What does that mean? We will continue our conversation. We're broadcasting live from Dubuque, Iowa, and happy to be here. Yeah, thanks, everybody. We have a great studio audience. Everybody's very engaged. It's good. We'll take more phone calls as well. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we continue our conversation, broadcasting live from the Mississippi Bug and the Below the Bluff Juice Bar. And they've been our wonderful hosts here in Dubuque, Iowa. And we're welcoming caucus goers to join us. And we also have phone calls coming in. Our number is 800-486-8655. I'm sorry we haven't had a chance to take a whole lot of calls. Let's go to Ron from Milwaukee next, who's been waiting for over an hour. So he really wants to talk. Hi, Ron.
Well, this was a very, very, very good night for organized labor in Iowa. And despite how many times the political scientists and the media and the corporations try to suppress us, it turns out that we know how to get out the vote. We can get out the vote. And I think this sets up very well for Mr. Edwards as he continues the process. We're going to have a very strong labor contingent for him in the middle of February when this thing is finally decided in Wisconsin. And I just think we did an excellent job in getting our people to
the
caucus.
All right, Ron, thanks very much for the call. But it wasn't a good night for John Edwards with organized labor. I heard something this morning, didn't I, that organized labor vote went to Obama, didn't it? Does anybody have a breakdown on that? All of you sophisticated political caucus goers?
I haven't seen any detailed number. But one thing that you would see if you go precinct to precinct is, again, this is part of the distorting effect of the Iowa caucus. He was second choice of – he and Edwards were the second choice favorites. So somebody could have gone in. I see we have at least one Christopher Dodd supporter.
Right.
Firefighters Union came out strong for Dodd.
Right.
But Dodd was not viable in almost every precinct across the state. Second choice is Obama. So it's tough to gauge that. And so when you get a number saying, okay, well, 40% of labor did this or that – we're getting numbers that don't that hide the second choice, third choice phenomena that takes place in the Iowa caucus. So, yeah, voters came. My guess is the Dodd supporters, the firefighters were out. Steelworkers were out for Edwards, but in a few precincts where Edwards wasn't as viable, they might have gone to Obama.
Yeah.
So,
where it's Patrick, isn't it? Where is Patrick? Who is for Dodd? Is he here? Terry. Is Terry here? Tell him to grab a mic. I don't know if he knows the answer to this, but if anybody would, Terry, do you know where organized labor went last night? Do we have a breakdown? I said I thought they went for Obama and not for Edwards, which is one of the surprises of last night. Is that right?
I don't know for sure. I would guess that. I would guess they split. They split three ways with Obama having an edge. Mm-hmm. When you mentioned Hillary finishing third, that's really almost a statistical dead heat. It was really pretty much a tie for second, mm-hmm. And Obama had a little edge for first. So,
big edge for
between
first.
The that three of them, between the three of the three major candidates, they took 98% of the results for the convention delegates that were elected.
Okay.
My great disappointment as a Dodd supporter is that. It has puzzled me for probably the last 3 or 4 months that someone can be a senator from an eastern state and have the most outstanding legislative success record of any of the senators in the race and be so little known here and have such a tough time gaining any traction. So that was a great disappointment that this guy has more legislative success than any of the others. And then the person right behind him with legislative success is Joe Biden.
Right.
And that's where I eventually went, and we were able to make him viable in my precinct. But it's a puzzle to me, first, that they're not very well known, and second, that the media never helped them get very well known and only concentrated on the top three. So that's the biggest disappointment.
Thank you. Let's talk about the media for a while, because there have been complaints, and it is true. They're at a 24-hour cycle, and there hasn't been a lot of attention paid to the second-tier candidates. Maybe the media is not doing its job, and part of the job early on here is to make sure that everybody is exposed to all of these people, and many of them have long, long records of public service.
Right. I think that's just one criticism of the media. And I think, unfortunately for the media's position here, the fact that everything is front-loaded, so jammed together, that actually, I think, exacerbates the problem. Because the idea is, well, we must concentrate on the top because we've only got a 4-week window here and the election will be over. So we're going to sort things out even before the voters have sorted it out. And I think that does work to Senator Dodd's disadvantage and Senator Biden's disadvantage. And again, that's, as I've said a couple of times, it's a bit of a distortion because there were Dodd supporters out there in precincts. There were Biden supporters out in precincts. But they don't show up on any of these final numbers. So you look at this, and of course it was a three-way race. Well, there were other people. 10% maybe have gone to Biden if you would have counted it up like the Republicans do. So.
Right. All right, thank you. Let's go to a phone call. Meg from Harvard, Illinois is joining us now. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Kathleen. I love your show, and thank you so much for taking my call. Can you
hear
me?
You're entirely welcome. Yes, we hear you.
Oh, okay, good. I am one of the – right now I'm driving home to Illinois from Iowa, where I was one of the many boots on the ground for Barack Obama and getting out the vote. And this is the most patriotic thing I've ever done. I'm so proud to have been part of this.
Is this your first time becoming very politically active, Meg, or not?
Well, no. I went door-to-door in 2004 as well and did some driving of people to the polls and some back in 2000. But I've been much more involved this time and much more inspired this time. To me, I believe that right now we are in a constitutional crisis, and who better than a civil rights attorney and a constitutional law professor to restore the balance of powers between our three supposedly co-equal branches of government. No more signing statements, no more warrantless wiretaps. Who better to return us to reasonable right of search and seizure and the right to know the charges against you and to a speedy trial and to confront the witnesses against you than Barack Obama?
Thank you, Meg. Thanks so much for your call. She used a word, I think, that can be applied to both of the winners last night, to Huckabee and to Obama. And the word is inspired. And I don't think that we have been, and there is something different about both of those campaigns that's inspiring. And I think you found it in some of the other candidates as well, but it's just the life history, too, of some of these candidates that makes, you know, that is really something that has made people cry. It's inspiring, don't you think?
Very much so. And what we often, with all the polls and the numbers, we often overlook is that to be successful, often you need that touch, that sort of just basic political talent. Obama has it. Huckabee has it. George W. Bush has it. Just the ability to communicate effectively with people and get people behind you, even if they don't agree with you on everything.
Yep.
And that's what, especially in my view, Democratic nominees have suffered from in recent years, is they've been very smart, very aggressive, done everything they need to do, but they just don't have that spark, that inspirational touch that they can get people behind them. And certainly Obama, and I think probably Edwards has it. Clinton, I'm not sure yet. So it's that kind of intangibles that are also, I think, play in the race.
Yeah, I think so, too. What happened to Senator Clinton in Iowa? What does it mean for New Hampshire, for South Carolina, for Nevada, for all that's ahead?
I think one of the things that struck me, as an Iowan, it's fantastic because you can go to all these events. And, you know, on one level, it seemed, there was an electricity to an Obama event that didn't exist with a Clinton event necessarily. You look at the demographics in an Obama event versus a Clinton event. You saw some serious demographics differences, trended older in Clinton events. And you saw that in the entrance polls to night of the caucus. But, you know, there is this notion that there's a sort of Obama tide or an Obama wave that's involved here, that she got caught up in and was unable to navigate successfully. And one indication that might have been true was how often the word change crept into Clinton's discussion in the last month or two. And some would argue that's a bit of a writing on the wall. And lest we forget that some of her campaign advisors two years ago, projecting forward, were questioning whether or not even to contest the caucus fully. Given its nature. I don't think she's done. I think, I'll just go see the Mark Twain line, okay? Reports of her demise are a bit premature. So just to put that out there. And so I think she does have time, partly because she has money and staff and organization.
Yeah.
So I would just say that she did not do particularly well, and part of it was she wasn't able to tap and resonate with Iowa voters the same way Obama was. And it looks like her turnout machine was not nearly as effective for new voters.
But how do you change your message? She has to change it somehow. And how do you make your message? What should it be? How do you take on hope?
I think if I were advising her, I would say don't overcompensate. You have to keep in mind that the winner of the Iowa caucuses only gets the nomination about half the time. So she's still got a 50-50 shot, same as Obama. And she should look for some of Obama's weaknesses, which were not as evident in Iowa, but which are more evident nationwide. I mentioned that split in the Democratic Party. If he's the Gary Hart Howard Dean side, with more appeal to college-educated, upwardly mobile Democrats. Yep. She still has a pretty solid base among Democrats without college degrees, among union members, and especially in states where you're going to have a larger turnout, you might get more of those folks in. And as Chris mentioned, very good organization, very good strategists, plenty of money. So I think she can definitely compete in the long haul. And sometimes, especially coming back to the media likes the rise and fall storyline. So just as this week the storyline is Obama surging, by next week we're going to need a new storyline to keep things interesting, same as on the Republican side. So I wouldn't change. She run a very effective campaign. As you said earlier, she essentially tied for second in the Iowa caucuses. And I think she has the legs to go long distance. New Hampshire looks close, but everywhere else she's got a significant lead.
See, I think she's flat. I think she needs something new. I really do. I think that there's the fact that we don't have any Senator Clinton caucus goers here, and this is – we have one. Good, good. Grab a microphone, for heaven's sake. Very, very few, that there's something that needs to change dramatically about – her message, that she's not resonating somehow. She's not. There's something missing there, and I'm not sure what it is.
This is not a representative. I hate to sound like the political scientist again, but this is not a representative sampling of individuals. And the NPR listening audience, what we're getting callers, is not a representative sample of right. the electorate. So,
oh, I thought everybody was like us.
Yeah. No, it might be nice if that was the case, but you know.
Yes, it would be. Yeah. We have a Hillary supporter. Great.
Yes, and actually she was my number two. Dodd was my number one.
Oh.
But Hillary was my number two. Every time I would go to one of her gatherings, I was just amazed by her knowledge and her presence. And I'm a longtime feminist. And I have a daughter who is in grad school, and she was unable to be here. So she said, Mom, I love Hillary. Will you go? If Dodd doesn't make it, will you go for Hillary for me?
Mm.
And so my heart was there anyway. So
yeah. So try to answer this question for me. Why is it that, and I might be overstating the case here, but, you know, this is a longtime political family. Bill Clinton was president, for heaven's sake. She's a prominent senator. I would have thought she would have done better in the state of Iowa. So why didn't she? And how do you think she needs to change the campaign to go on and win more?
Well, we have to remember that Bill had trouble in Iowa, too. So there is some history, you know, about the Clintons in Iowa. The number two is where they come in.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they're out. So at one point, Hillary wasn't going to even compete here, as you said. But she gathered her forces and decided to compete here full force. But I think her coming in number one would have been a long shot anyway. I think she expected Edwards to come in number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think number two is Edwards and Clinton, really, I think it was a dead heat for number two.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Thank you very much. We have, I believe, a first-time caucus goer and her mom. I love these stories. And they both went for Obama. Am I right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So you're the wave of the future. You're part of the reason that this guy really took off here in Iowa. Do you find him inspiring?
I do. Every time I go to see him at an event, I've probably seen him 5 or 6 times, and I do. I get chills every time I see him. I hear him talk, and I get more inspired to be more active in the political process. So,
interesting.
I do.
So you were a first-time caucus goer last night?
Yes. I have observed 2 others when I was younger in 2000 and 2004, but yesterday, I was so pumped. I was so excited. I told my dad, I was like, I'm so excited for this. And he's like, why are you so excited? And I was like, well, it's something new and something exciting. And we were watching CNN, and one of the polls that I saw showed 57% of 17 through 29-year-olds came out for the caucus, Democratic caucus. And I had tears in my eyes because it made me feel – like, really good that I made a difference, so.
Oh, you're going to cry now. Yeah, good for you. So when he talks about, you know, and some of these words move me, too, but when he talks about changing the world, I'm not sure all that he means by that, but there is something about the way he says it that makes you believe it, that makes you want to go out, and it's sort of like this Kennedy thing. It's like this, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, which inspired my generation. You know, we went into VISTA, we went into the Peace Corps. There's something about, and I think maybe Obama needs to define more of what it is, but he does have that for you, and I think for a lot of people, we're going to change the world. I'm not sure what you're going to do. Let me know, but you're going to go change the world.
And I think that came across to a lot of young supporters, and I think that's really kind of what helped him succeed so well in Iowa, is that a lot of people came out, and they, you know, they're first-time caucus goers and young people who came out who are really concerned about their future. And I think that they look to him, and they see hope, and they see change. So.
Yeah, interesting. But your mom was with him as well.
Yeah, yes. I have been Barack's supporter since 2004, and I was one of those individuals sitting, you know, in the den watching the Democratic convention, and he came on, and I knew he was running for the Senate seat in Illinois, but I'm telling you, I was on the phone calling my parents, who also live in Iowa, in Fort Dodge, and my sister's in Madison, and it was unbelievable. And it was like I was there with all those people on that floor at the convention center, and I was pumping my fists and I was saying, yeah. And I mean, it was, and so then he came to Galena, Illinois, which is, you know, across the river, 15 miles, and I went over there. Oh man. But you know what? Since then, he talked about hope back then. Mm. He talked about unity back then. He talked about change back then. And he talked about why it was important, why he was doing what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He is so inspiring. He's so just, he for me, he's it.
I can tell. He's it for you.
And you know what else? One other point is, you know, I have this rockin' 19-year-old, and I have a great 16-year-old, soon to be 16-year-old boy who didn't go to the caucus but went 4 years ago. And I don't know how old he was back then. I mean, you know, he was like in third grade or fourth grade. But he said, well, you know, no, I'm not going to go. But he watched on TV, and he had a message on my phone last night. He called his sister about three times. He called his father a couple of times just to kind of give him the lowdown and this sort of thing. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of the process. And, but the one thing that really I heard it in a commercial on TV, and he made the point. And as a parent, he made the point that, you know, it's time for parents to turn off that TV. And it's time to, you know, get with your children. And when, you know, and I heard him say that, and I'm like, right on. Because I'm a teacher. I teach music to K-5, and
great.
But that also, I mean, it was like, yes. And you know, the other thing too is, and I've been to, you know, some other events with him, and I was lucky enough to be, I think he was in here in September, and there was a smaller group, and it was a room full of educators from around Eastern Iowa, and I think I made the comment. And other people, you know, make the comments. And that's the other thing about his organization is they listened to the individuals who were at these smaller meetings. And they took it back to that main campaign, that main organization. And, you know, they're listening to the message of the people.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks
very much for grabbing the microphone. We need to pause for just a moment. We'll return. We're broadcasting live. And so happy to be here in Dubuque, Iowa, the day after the Iowa caucuses. Our number is 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Let's try and take some more phone calls. John is calling us from Central Mexico. I don't know how he tuned us in, but must be on the Internet somehow. Hi, John. John, are you there? I guess it was too far away. I thought it was pretty far away.
I'm here.
Well, at any rate, thanks for listening if you are. Oh, John. Hi, John.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Are you there?
We are here.
Hi, how are you?
We're all right. We're great, actually.
I drove to Iowa in that ice storm and thought of stopping and helping, but I kept on coming south. Anyway, I think we all won. We had a great slate of candidates from the Democratic Party. I think Huckabee really is kind of a joke, and I think Mitt Romney is a worse joke. And I'm very pleased with how things turned out. I'm an independent, but I think that we're going to get a wonderful candidate out of this whole process, and I thank the Iowans for what they did.
There's a compliment. So do you have a candidate you're supporting, John, or not?
Actually, I support any of the top six on the Democratic slate. I think they're all wonderful. So.
Thanks. Thanks very much for the call. Let me ask our political scientists about this, because we did see more people coming to the Democratic side, more registrations, more first-time caucusers than the Republicans. Are the Republicans in trouble in this election in a big way? We saw the midterm elections, Democrats get voted into office a couple of years ago. What do they need to do to take on what seems to be a Democratic surge?
I think it'll be tough. It's going to be a difficult environment for Republicans, just as they benefited in recent years from demographic changes, the Sun Belt, things like that. They are now on the back end of some demographic changes, with young people going much strongly more in the Democratic area, a growing non-white population in the United States, other demographic changes that favor Democrats, plus just the general national security issues, the economy, things where it looks like it's setting up better for the Democrats. That being said, when things were going well for Republicans, Democrats were also able to elect presidents, elect plenty of members of Congress, plenty of senators. So strong candidates with good messages and good organizations can win even against some sort of larger trends that move against you, which is why candidates such as, I mean, I would say probably the Republicans have their best shot with someone like John McCain with independent voters. And I would actually think that Mitt Romney would make a strong general election candidate. He's had problems in Republican primaries, but in a general election, he's the kind of candidate who I think would probably run a pretty effective campaign.
Christopher, do you think McCain's going to win New Hampshire?
With my supporter hat, I would say I hope so. With my analyst hat, he's got a good shot, but it's far from certain. Actually, the New Hampshire debate tomorrow, I believe, it'll be interesting both for the Democrats and Republicans, and it's a high stakes affair for both Romney and McCain, but frankly also for Huckabee.
Mm-hmm.
If Huckabee's going to be the story coming out of Iowa, which it seems that he is on the Republican side, this is an opportunity for him to get a wider audience, especially in New Hampshire, and to demonstrate that has some merit.
Yeah. We have an obvious John Edwards for President supporter with us now here in Dubuque. Good morning.
Morning. I'm Tom Husfit from Alma Key County, extreme northeast county in Iowa. We had four smaller areas. We went into one precinct together, and we had 120 people. That's 50 more than they'd had before.
Mm.
And there were 50 new registrars there. A lot of those went Obama, and there were not a lot of kids. Anti-war and moderate Republicans who basically said, they're going too far right for me. They're appealing too much to the right. We had, it went five delegates, Edwards, four Obama, and three for Clinton. The difference was Richardson delegates who weren't viable. They ended up coming over to Edwards. The whole precinct waited about 20 minutes while they tried to reconvene again and see whether they could get viable. And everybody wanted to go home, but they waited for the minority to figure out what they wanted to do.
Oh, my.
It was very, you know, basically some of those people ended up being delegates from Edwards.
Oh.
So it was kind of one of those, I guess it all worked out kind of things.
Yeah.
In 68, I sat in a combined front room and dining room in Minnesota and watched a unpopular president who basically wasn't going to run again. His vice president run, and another senator from Minnesota run against him. And it's another one of these under, you know, the establishment versus. In one part of the room, the establishment won and would not take anybody from the McCarthy camp. And the other part, the McCarthy won and would just kicked out the whole Humphrey people. And there was a big problem in Chicago at the convention, and the Democrats lost. And so I hope that doesn't happen again. And I think part of this proportional voting is based on that. A woman left who did want to make a comment on race. She said it doesn't make any difference if you're black or white if you're out of work. And it doesn't make any difference if the stock market goes bad if you're black or white. That's why there's not a big racial issue. I did notice in terms of being, I was precinct chair, and I did notice that there was some resistance to some rural county, white voters to warm up to an Obama campaign. And I think one of the juggling acts that is going to be interesting for Obama to do is, how can you keep that together? Can you keep young people? Can you, when you have a big black rally, what is the white reaction to that? Is it they feel part of that, or don't they feel part of that? An antidote to that is I heard Michelle Obama speak, and I've never heard
the closer. I hear she's terrific.
I've never heard a political speech like that, and I'm from Minnesota with all those big important politicians, and she is just outstanding, and she's no pretense. And absolutely outstanding.
Yeah. Rhonda's going to book her, right, Rhonda? We'll get her on by next couple weeks.
In a room like this.
Michelle Obama.
In a room like this. Right. in a room this size, she'll basically absolutely win everybody over. And, right. And she's very genuine, very honest.
Yeah, I've heard that.
My son's a Huckabee supporter. He went to Ames. I couldn't get him over here, but... he said they had 99 there, 53 or so went with Huckabee. Every one of the people that spoke did speak about religious themes, right to life, so forth and so on. But I don't think you can write Huckabee off. He's very shrewd. I think, like in football, if the pass works, you use the pass. If it's the run that's going to work that time, you're going to use the run. He's no dummy, and he's much more of a moderate than politically, I think, than people know now. So I think he's a real candidate. And
yeah.
It's absolutely exciting to be part of this in Iowa.
Oh, it is.
It's absolutely, I mean, and I got to ask questions of three of the candidates and direct questions in two other campaigns, and they responded. And it's just really something, and I think everybody ought to have this chance, not just Iowa.
Yeah, well, I think you're very astute. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks. Let's go to a phone call. You wanted to say something.
No.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Stephen is calling from Madison. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Kathleen. Great show. Thanks, Iowans. What an exciting time. I wanted to address something. I hope it's not too obtuse. I was noticing in the New York Times Magazine a couple weeks ago an interview with Umberto Eco, and Eco addressed how politicians build popular support and govern. He used Romano's Italian government as an example of what we can expect globally in the future. Specifically, he said that leaders manipulate the media in order to allow them to sidestep the vetting process, NPR as an exception, of course, and that the media ideally provides that vetting process. But leaders will use the media platform today to build support and govern directly to the populace. So my question is, have any of your guests noticed this phenomenon of support building and governing via the media directly? Has it affected Iowa at all? Which candidates?
I need to hold you there. We're running short on time. Stephen, you want to quickly respond? We want to get to other caucus goer and we have to say goodbye.
In regards to the ability of candidates, one thing that you will see is the increased reliance. This is common criticism. Increased reliance of the media directly to candidates and or the president, the administration for news stories. So in other words, I heard a reporter from our local newspaper the other day at a rally say, my job is essentially to get the information from the campaign and then cut about half of it. Well, that still leaves all information from the campaign.
Right.
And right. That echoes a sentiment, the common criticism of the media that I don't think NPR is above. I think all media suffer from this potential problem.
Thanks, Christopher. Thanks, Stephen, very much for your call. We have about 30 seconds. We have a Hillary supporter. We're in a Team Hillary scarf. Hi.
I was at precinct number 4, but why I'm a Hillary supporter is the fact I've been kind of political minded since about 1980 was my first election, I think I worked on. But she's in it for the marathon, and I have read the book, I've read Obama's book, but what I know is that she's truly been to 82 counties. She's built bipartisan communication, even as a senator, to get certain bills passed. And you got to work as a team and still be the mom and do a lot of other things. And she has that ability to do that and be a real person.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you for being with us. Oh, I'm so sad. You must be really sad. Those of you in Iowa, it's time to say goodbye. It's too bad. It's too bad. I just want this to keep going on. We've just had a wonderful time. Thank you, Mary, so much for getting the whole thing rolling. And we have a lot of people to thank, but this was a terrific broadcast. Thanks to Professor Christopher Budzitz, Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College. Great insights. Thank Christopher for being with us. David Carroll Cochran, Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College. Thank you so much. We enjoyed your being here. We just had a really wonderful time, and I hope that the spirit that we've sensed here in Iowa carries on throughout the country, because you know what? You read the books, for heaven's sake. You read the candidates' books. I just think it's terrific. We want to thank Rhonda Fanning for producing this show. Not an easy thing to do, to coordinate all these campaigns. Thanks, Rhonda. She's over here. Wave your hand. Sandy Lewinauer, who coordinated this whole event here. Thanks, Sandy. She's really been terrific. Thanks to Sandy. Marv Nunn, our engineer, who's also marvelous, Marvelous Marv. And we want to thank John Treader, our great volunteer back at the station, Abby Nelson, Sarah Covington, thanks for helping out, Bill Estes, Ken and Mary Loney Bichelle, Mary for inviting us here and just for being our wonderful political guides, Scott and Beth Putnam, Valerie Hogan from the Mississippi Mug, Randy Nichols from Below the Bluff Juice Bar, and thanks to... Well, thanks, everybody. Keep listening. We're going to be on the case, you know? All right. Thank you.